The message you are about to hear is brought to you by Terry Moore. And now, Mr. Moore.
Let's turn over to Exodus in chapter 5. Exodus in the 5th chapter. The morning of 9/11, when the Twin Towers were struck by two 757s, there were a small group of people that should have been in those buildings, and they should have been killed. But they were not, for some seemingly small reasons. The head of one company survived 9/11 because his child had started kindergarten that day. Another fellow was alive because it was his turn to bring donuts. One woman was late because her alarm clock didn't go off. One person was late because they were stuck on the New Jersey Turnpike because of an auto accident. One of them missed his bus. One lady had spilled food on her clothes and had to go back and change. We all know how frustrating that can be. One person's car wouldn't start. One went back to answer the telephone and was delayed. One had a child that dawdled and spent just a little too much time getting ready for school than they should have. One person couldn't get a taxi. And then there was one gentleman who bought a new pair of shoes and took various means to get to work, but had to do quite a bit of walking, and he had to stop in a nearby drugstore to get a Band-Aid because he developed a blister on his foot. And because of that, he is alive today. Why did these events take place? Did God have a part to play in this? Or was it just chance that these people survived? Well, we all know, brethren, that God works with people in ways that we often cannot see. And this can't be more true than the people God has called today. Many times God is working with each and one of us, and we just can't see what he's doing in our lives. And so each of us have various experiences we go through. Sometimes annoyances, like spilling food on our clothes, or the car breaking down, or being stuck in traffic. These annoyances sometimes develop into tests, don't they? And sometimes they culminate in trials that are actually quite difficult to get through. Stressful situations, painful situations at times. And many times we just can't tell why these things are happening. Where is it coming from? Why are we allowed to suffer, to experience these things? When our car breaks down, or we get sick, or we get into some kind of a trouble that is no fault of our own some of the time, we wonder, is this God's? Maybe it is. I wonder, maybe this is where God wants me to be right now. Maybe this is where I need to be right now. It's something we should ask ourselves. Are we supposed to experience these events? Today, brethren, it seems that the troubles of our times have greatly multiplied. And the difficulties of our own lives, our personal lives, have also greatly multiplied. I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like it's so difficult to get things done these days. Does anybody experience this? It seems like problem after problem, trouble after trouble. Nothing seems to be easy anymore. Every corner we turn, there's another hurdle to jump, another obstacle in our way, another rock that has to be moved so that we can get past. Nothing seems to be easy. Nothing seems to be easy anymore. And all too often, there's so many setbacks in the various situations we have in our lives. Sometimes obstacles seem to fall right out of thin air and crush us. Crush the situation. Make it a disaster. Turn into something even bigger than we initially thought it was. Much of the time, things are so difficult to get through and to accomplish. Why does life have to be so hard? Well, funny as it may sound, brethren, the troubles we have in our life are for our own good. They truly are. Let's examine this by an example given to us in the Exodus. Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5. And we're going to pick it up in verse 1. And this picks up just after Moses and Aaron had went to the people of Israel while they were enslaved in Egypt, and he told them how God had seen their afflictions, and how God desired to deliver them. Take them out of bondage. Take them out of this life of sin. And he had sent Moses and Aaron to them to not only give them this good news, but to convince Pharaoh to let the people go. And the Israelites were, of course, overjoyed at this news. Could you imagine? Extremely happy. Exodus chapter 5 and verse 1. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord, God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord? Why should I obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And they said, "The God of the Hebrews hath met with us and let us go, we pray thee, 3 days into the journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or but with a sword." And the king of Egypt replied, "Wherefore do you, Moses and Aaron, let the people get from their works?" Giving them some kind of hope. You know, what do you think you're doing? Making them stop doing their jobs. "Get you under your burdens." And Pharaoh said, "Behold, the people of the land now are many, and then you make them rest from their burdens." And Pharaoh commanded the same day that the taskmasters of the people and their officers, saying, "You shall no more give the people straw to make brick as heretofore. Let them go and gather straw for themselves. And the tale of bricks which they did make heretofore, that shall be upon them. You shall not diminish anything of it. For they be idle, crying, saying, 'Let us go sacrifice unto our God.'" So Pharaoh said, "Oh, you think you have hard times, huh? You think things are hard for you? Well, guess what? It's getting harder." Let's jump down to verse 12. "So the people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw." They couldn't have straw anymore, but yet they had to make the same amount of bricks. "And the taskmasters hasted to them, saying, 'Fulfill your works, your daily tasks, just as if there were straw.' And the officers of the children of Israel, when Pharaoh's taskmasters had set over them, were beaten and demanded, 'Why have you not fulfilled your task in making brick, both yesterday and today, as the day before?'" Suffering, pain, trouble. And jump down to verse 19. "And the officers of the children of Israel did see that they were evil in an evil case, after it was said, 'You shall not diminish anything from your bricks of your daily task.' And then they went to Moses and Aaron, who stood in the way, and as they came forth from Pharaoh, and they said, 'The Lord look upon you and judge, because you have made our savor to be abhorred in the eyes of Pharaoh.'" In other words, you've made us to stink. You've made us vile to them. And they treat us even worse than before. And they put a sword in their hand to slay us. And Moses returned unto the Lord and said, "Lord, wherefore hast thou so evil and treated this people? Why is it that thou hast sent me? For since I came to Pharaoh to speak in thy name, he hath done evil to this people. Neither hast thou delivered thy people at all." So we see, brethren, that Moses did as the Lord said. And yet the people did not have deliverance. In fact, their burdens were worsened. They were worse off than before. Moses then questioned to God and asked him, "Why has this trouble come upon us? How come you haven't delivered us?" He did just as the Lord told him to. But the hardship only increased. When Moses first revealed to the Israelites that God saw their affliction and desired to help them, they were overjoyed. The people thought they were going to be delivered. Pronto. Right away. But by the results of what had happened, they questioned Moses' intentions. And they wondered if God was even with Moses. Is he even working with him? Does this scenario seem familiar to any of us today? Have we questioned what God was doing with us when times are rough, and then when times seem to get even worse? Do we wonder, is God still working with us? Is he still there? Or has he left us unattended, at the mercy of the elements? What we often don't realize, brethren, is that God purposes hard times in our lives. He allows this to take place. God was testing the Israelites here, How bad did they want it? How bad did they want freedom from bondage? Was it bad enough to suffer even worse? Further persecution? Heavier burdens? And if so, would they stand true? With further persecution and pain. The trials that we endure, brethren, are a part of the character-building process, as we've talked about so many times during Q&A and as we've heard in so many sermons. It's part of the character-building process. But it's often difficult for us to see through the hardship, to see what kind of picture is being made in our lives. We're many times blinded by self-pity, by anger, by frustration. Sometimes we cannot discern the suffering and the reason for it. We wonder, brethren, if God is still trying to work with us, instead of realizing that God is simply trying us to see where we stand, or trying certain areas of our lives so that they be made stronger, trying our strength so that we can be able to lift more, trying our patience so that it will grow, and trying our faith so that it will too grow. Now, after this first trial of the Israelites, if you jump over to chapter 6, Moses asked God why they weren't delivered. How come this did not take place? And here was God's answer. It was a reaffirming of what he had planned to do. He didn't say, well, it's because you didn't do it exactly like I told you. He reaffirmed his plan with them. Exodus 6 and verse 6. Wherefore, say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm, and with the great judgments, and I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And I will bring you into the land concerning the which I did swear to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and I will give it to you for an heritage. I am the Lord. Isn't this a good example for us? Sometimes when we don't see the answer, when we don't see the reason for our tests, our trials, maybe we should just consider the fact that God knows what he's doing, and what he has planned to do, he will do. This is what he's telling the Egyptians here. The Israelites here. I'm going to do it. Don't doubt. Don't complain. Don't get angry. It's going to take place. God reminded them what he had purposed to do with them. And isn't this sometimes the best medicine for us? So that we have patience. So that we grow in faith. It's probably the best medicine to help the situation to refocus. Refocus and search the Bible. We should search the Bible for answers. Search the Word in the way of Jesus Christ. And this will often lead us to the big picture of things and the reason for our affliction, the reason for our suffering. But alas, brethren, many times we are much like the Israelites. And when affliction is great, we don't want to hear what God has to say. And this is shown in verse 9 here of chapter 6. And Moses spoke unto the children of Israel and told them what God had said, but they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. They didn't want to hear it anymore. Hey, I'm suffering here. I heard that plan already. I want to hear something else. Let's get some deliverance going, okay? Let's ease some of my pain. Many times we're like that, aren't we? Many times we are. These people didn't want to hear Moses because they didn't have immediate deliverance like he had said. Although, if they retrace what Moses said, he didn't say you would be delivered immediately. All he said was, this is going to happen. God said it will happen, and it will. He didn't say how. He said it will happen. And that's some good news for us, isn't it? Those are some good new, nice words to think about when we're going through the various stressful, painful situations we're in. The Israelites, brethren, did this many times through the Exodus, as most of us know. Many times. When things didn't go well, they complained, they murmured, they chided Moses, and they doubted whether God was working with Moses or not. Here are some examples. You don't have to turn there, but I'll give you some examples briefly. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? This is when the Egyptian armies were coming after them. And another place, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses in the wilderness and said, you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with hunger. And what happened? Manna from heaven. But alas, they also eventually complained about that, didn't they? Here's another example. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. Wherefore is it that thou hast brought us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And what happened? Water from the rock. These people doubted. They got angry. God would have delivered them without this kind of an attitude they had, if they just had patience. And if they just considered the situation they were in and why they were allowed to go through these things. Now, does this sound familiar to any of us, though? Doesn't it? Are we like this at times? Do we get angry? Do we murmur or chide somebody that is getting on our nerves or that we're frustrated with? Do we think, you know, things seem to be going so great? And then what happened? It seems like God kind of forgot about us. Where did he go? We may lose a job, a friend, or a car. Get in a car accident like happened to Mr. Rodriguez a few weeks ago. I chuckle, but it's not funny. I mean, he could have been seriously hurt. Let's turn over to Isaiah in chapter 55. Are we having trouble with our family? Relationships? Are we having financial problems? Do these things get to us? I know we pray for help, we do. We pray, but sometimes our prayers are not answered right away, and we wonder why. Why am I allowed to suffer like this? Why is this taking place? I thought I was doing the things God wanted me to do, but maybe I'm not. And then we doubt. We get frustrated, angry. Sometimes we might even just stop and not do anything anymore, remain idle. That is a terrible thing to do. First, brethren, we must realize that although we strive very hard to have the mind of God, our thoughts are not like his thoughts. They're not. They just aren't. As hard as we may try, we can only comprehend certain aspects of God's mind. And the big picture of things may take an entire lifetime to be able to see. We may only see small parts of the picture right now. We must remember this. Isaiah in chapter 55 and verse 8, God points this out to us. He says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Well, this might seem a bit discouraging to some people at first, because, you know, we strive to be like God. We want to be like him. We want to have his mind and to do the things he does and behave the way he does. But here God says you're not going to accomplish this task while you're a mortal being. It's not going to happen. But God then gives us hope. He explains in the next following verses how our continued efforts to listen to him and to be like him and to put on his mind, they won't be in vain. In verse 10, it says, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not there, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it." Brethren, great hope here. The thing God has set his mind to do, he will accomplish. And right now, he has set his mind to work with each and every one of you. What we need to ask ourselves, brethren, is have we set our mind, our thoughts, to work with him? That's what he needs to know. That's what he's trying to find out in every part of our life. Not just this part or that part or a little area here or there, in every part. So when we suffer and we go through these various experiences and situations and we question, why this? Why now? God is finding out where we need to be built, where we need to be strengthened. And he's allowing these things to take place so that we may have a mind that's more like his. So that his teachings, his truth that are put into our lives will not come back to him void. He says they will not. God is determined and he will not forsake us, brethren. He will not. As Mr. Bradick pointed out in a sermon a few weeks ago, nothing can take us out of the Father's hand, or I should say no one can take us out of the Father's hand, as Christ had said. But we can take ourselves out of the Father's hand. We can do this by getting discouraged, and then we begin to wane in our faith, or we get angry and just stop altogether, not do anything, remain idle. Sometimes things in life seem very hard to deal with, and we find ourselves in a situation where we seem to be weak, seemingly ineffectual. Maybe we find ourselves under overwhelming circumstances where it's just so hard. Or maybe we're afraid. Maybe we have fear. What will we do in these situations? Get out of the game? Complain? Get mad? Or move forward and do the very best we can in the situation that we have been dealt? Jean Bobby was a 45-year-old French journalist who was editor-in-chief of Elle magazine, and he suffered a stroke in December of 1995. After this stroke, he was paralyzed, and he had no control over any of his body. He could not speak or move, except he could move his left eyelid. That's all. Bobby learned to communicate with his left eyelid. He first learned to say yes and then to say no by blinking. And then a therapist came and helped him and pointed out letters of the alphabet. And he began to spell words and then sentences. Difficult though as it was, Mr. Bobby, a few years later, composed an entire book that was called The Diving Suit and the Butterfly. And this was released prior to his death in 1997. Its first week in publication, it sold 146,000 copies. Pretty impressive, huh? For somebody who's paralyzed and can only move their eyelid. Mr. Bobby did the very best he could in the situation he was in. A tragic, dire, fatal situation. And even though he could only move his one eyelid, he made the best of it. And he was successful in publishing a novel. His situation seemed hopeless, but he didn't give up, did he? Isn't this a wonderful example for each and one of us, each and every one of us? Many of us have experienced very difficult times, dire situations. We may currently be in the midst of one. What are we going to do when these come upon us? Are we going to get discouraged and give up? Or do the very best we can? We must consider that maybe we're supposed to be here. Maybe we're supposed to experience these situations. And we should get inspired by these situations to do something. It's often very hard to do. It is. I see Mr. Bradick smiling back there because it's hard to do. But boy, if we could, how successful could we be in coming out on top, coming out amongst the elite, the 144,000? Yes. Maybe this is something we have to go through in order to obtain God's kingdom. And if that's the truth, then instead of saying, deliver me from this, O Lord, maybe we should be saying, bring it on! Yeah, I know. Easier said than done, right? Of course. Yeah, me first. Okay. Yeah, it's very hard to do. But, you know, Mr. Fisher made a comment to me one evening, and he said that, you know, Terry, since you have a daughter now, you're going to experience some very difficult things in your life. And knowing that I must experience these things as a father to a child and how I can help the situation and how I can learn and grow myself, I told him, yeah, yes, I know. And I reluctantly say, bring it on. You know, there's a little bit of reluctance there because you don't want to go through these things. No, you don't, but you know that you have to. You know that you must experience them, right? And if that's what I must experience in order to enter God's kingdom, shouldn't I want it? Shouldn't I desire it? That's why the scriptures say that we glory in tribulation. And count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. Knowing the end result, knowing what's going to take place. Let's turn over to Isaiah in chapter 46. We may not be able to see a clear picture of why these things occur, but we must consider, brethren, that God does see. And the good work that God has started in each and every one of us, He will accomplish. We just have to help the situation. We can't give up. We can't get discouraged. We can't give in to evil, in anger, in hatred. We must remain faithful and compliant. Isaiah 46, and beginning in verse 9, some very familiar words we've heard many times. Very inspiring. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country, yes, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, he says. I will also do it. Again, very good reminding words for us. God has purposed you to be called. He has a purpose in you, and He will do it. He will accomplish it. As long as we do not stray from Him. His thoughts are not like ours, brethren. He sees a bigger and much more unlimited picture than we do. A much more positive picture than we do. And I'm going to borrow some scriptures that were put up on the Daily Scripture webpage of the Eternal Church of God about a week ago. And these are wonderful scriptures. I'm not going to tell you to turn there. I'm just going to go through them because I thought this was such an inspiring example for us. Because we say, I can't figure it out. But God says, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. We say, I don't know where to turn. But God says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But we say, I'm not able. But God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you may always have sufficiency in all things, and may abound to every good work. We say, I'm just so tired. Christ says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We say, I just don't think I have what it takes. But God says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ. We say, but I'm afraid. The scriptures say, but the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. But we say, I can't. I just can't do it. But Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And we say, it's impossible. But God says, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And we say, it's not worth it. It's too much. But God says, the sufferings of this present age are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Those God has called for his purpose, brethren, will one day be kings in the kingdom of God. And as such, they will be leaders, they will be servants, they will be instructors and problem solvers in his kingdom. They're also going to be priests, aren't they? And as such, they will be counselors, advisors, teachers, and problem solvers in the kingdom of God. The purpose of your life is to learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Knowing not just about him, but truly knowing him intimately, how he thinks, how he works, what will he do in the situations we are presented with. How can we learn to be problem solvers in the kingdom of God if we don't learn to be problem solvers right now? And this is the core issue of why we experience difficult, stressful situations, trials, tests, pain, suffering. This is the purpose, the core purpose of the things we go through in life that are so difficult. Let's turn over to Psalms in chapter 145. When we are faced with trials, we should examine them and pray for guidance. Pray for God to help our situation, but not get angry, not complain, and don't aggravate the situation. Many times when we have these types of reactions, we only aggravate the situation. And that's what the Israelites did. And when this took place, their trials became worse. Or many times, the repercussions were even fatal. Psalms 145, beginning in verse 17, it says, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, and holy in all his works. The Lord is near unto them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry, and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but the wicked he will destroy. So if our desire, brethren, is the kingdom of God, and our desire is to seek that kingdom by seeking the righteousness of Jesus Christ, then eventually, with the counsel of God's word, we will prevail. For what God has set his mind to do, he will do. And the picture of your life, brethren, and what you are like and what you will be like, will become more and more clear to us. It'll slowly come together like an artist's masterpiece. A little bit at a time. Here a little, there a little. The picture falls into place. You know, some time ago, I put together a jigsaw puzzle. It was a 1,500-piece puzzle, and when I first looked at it and all the hundreds and hundreds of pieces, it was very intimidating. I thought, you know, this is kind of an overwhelming task to put this together. But it's something I really wanted to do, so I tackled it slowly, piece at a time, little piece here, little piece there. You know, some pieces would just kind of fall into place very easily, and the picture began to be a little more clear of what it was going to look like. If I try a piece one way and it wouldn't work, but if I try it another way, ah, it works. It fits. One would go up here, one would go down there. And then, of course, you know, if you've ever put together a puzzle of this size, there's lots and lots of pieces that just don't seem to go anywhere. They just don't have a place. And so you start like a pile, or you start a box full of pieces that don't fit. You put them aside for later use. Some parts of the puzzle were all blue, or some were all brown, or all black. And I thought, you know, that's just craziness to put that together. It's going to take forever. How am I going to ever do that? But, you know, slowly, one section at a time, you just work and work, and it kind of starts to come together. Isn't this much like our life, brethren? This is a lot like our life. It's like a giant jigsaw puzzle. And many of the pieces just don't seem to fit. We know there's a place for them somewhere, but we don't know where that's at. They just don't seem to fit. So we put those pieces aside for later use. And then there are pieces that just kind of come together very easily. It's like, oh, no problem. Here, here, here. And I can build that part of the picture very easily. That's no problem. Brethren, let's say God came to you, or an angel came to you and brought you a puzzle and said, here is the jigsaw puzzle of your life. 100 million pieces. You must put it together. It's going to take your entire lifetime to put it together. And all the pieces are problems, trials, tests, skills that we need to work on building. They're all pieces of the puzzle, and they all have to come together at some point in our lives. Eventually, they will come together, but it's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take a lot of time and a lot of effort to complete this picture of your life, of what you are like and what you will be like in God's kingdom. Part of the time, the puzzle goes together fairly easily. No problems. But other part areas are very difficult to work with. We try them various ways and they just don't seem to fit. So we put those pieces aside. One day, as the picture becomes more clear, we start to realize, oh, I saw that piece. It was right over here. And I know where that goes. We find it and go, yes! And we're so excited. Put that piece in. When we get to those difficult parts of the puzzle of our life, brethren, are we going to just give up and say, you know, this is just too hard? That whole area there is just all black. I just can't do it. I can't work on that. Or are we going to work on it piece at a time? One here, one there. It may take hours, days, or years to put that part of the puzzle together. But we must constantly be working on it. We can't put it up on the shelf to collect dust with our other puzzles. This is one that we have to continue working on. One that we have to continue building. Trying different angles and trying different pieces at different angles, trying to make them fit. The skills that you build, that you work on, making those fit into the puzzle of your life. search and search until we find the pieces that fit our puzzle. You know, sometimes we might finish a part of the puzzle in your life only to find out that the hardest parts are still to come. And then there are times when I was building this 1,500-piece puzzle, I walked by and kind of knocked the edge of it, and part of the puzzle fell right off onto the floor, all into pieces, and I'm like, oh, great. Now I got to put that whole section together again. That happens in our lives, doesn't it? Part of our lives just seems to fall apart. Are we going to stop and say, I'm not going to do that again? Or are we going to work at it, put it back together? You know, oftentimes when that happens, there's little chunks that are still together. And you're like, oh, I can save that piece. I can save that. Here, put it right there. Just kind of build around it. It's a very good example for us, brethren. We never stop putting our puzzle together. Never. When a test or a trial arises, we search for new pieces. They're there. God will help us to find them. We have to be persistent and work on it, spend a lot of time, but they will come together. And just like a physical puzzle, though, you know, the puzzle of our life is not exclusive to each and every one of us. Others can help you with your puzzle. Yeah. Others can help you in the many situations in your life. You can gain strength and seek counsel with brethren and with friends. And they can help you with your puzzle. And God will also help you. God will guide our hand in fitting the pieces together. He will. Eventually, brethren, we will form a picture of who we are to be. And the picture will become more and more clear as time progresses. And at the end of the age, God willing, we will be able to see the picture, a picture of what God has destined for us to be. Sometimes, brethren, we just don't feel worthy of our calling, do we? Sometimes we feel like, I don't have a lot to offer God. And maybe I'm not supposed to be one of the chosen few. Sometimes we can't see the big picture of things, but God does see the big picture. And He sees a much bigger and more magnificent and unlimited picture than we do. Here's an example. A bar of steel is worth $5. If you make that bar into horseshoes, it's worth $10. If you take that same bar of steel and manufacture it into needles, the price rises to $275. Then, if you take that same bar of steel and you make it into delicate springs that are used in expensive watches, the value of that bar of steel goes up to $250,000. This same bar of steel becomes more valuable being cut, being blasted through furnace after furnace, being hammered, pounded, shaped, and eventually finished and polished and formed into something that does very intricate, very detailed tasks, very delicate tasks. As we experience, brethren, test after test and trial after trial, fire after fire, being hammered and pounded down, remember, brethren, that God is preparing each of us for very delicate, intricate, and detailed tasks in His coming kingdom. Many times we can't see the big picture of things, but God does see. And the things that He has purposed in your life, He will accomplish. Our God is like a father who has a young child who desires the best for his child, who truly wants to give them the best in life. But many times this child must gain knowledge and understanding by experiencing various situations. The attributes we gain must be gained by experience, by going through them. Our Father knows best. And He knows what we need for millennial success. Let's turn over to 1 Peter in chapter 1 for a final scripture today. 1 Peter in chapter 1. Brethren, let's not only ask God to deliver us from our troubles, but let's ask Him to help us find the way in which we are to go. Prepare us, God, for the return of Your Son. Help us to make ourselves ready as His bride. In 1 Peter in chapter 1, in verse 6, this is from the New King James Version, it says, "In this greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Brethren, when hard times come, let's remember what the end result is. Let's learn from these experiences, working to complete the jigsaw puzzle of our life, forming an image that we can see and that we can understand. And let's not leave our lives as a box full of pieces that just don't seem to fit.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you found the message beneficial. If you would like to know more about the Eternal Church of God, we would like to hear from you. You may contact us at 1-800-723-6108. We also invite you to visit our website at eternalcog.org. Once again, thanks for listening.